Go ahead.
All right, I'd like to open the Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. First thing I'd like to do is introduce and welcome Byron Ashbridge. Byron is our town council liaison for planning and zoning. So welcome, Byron. I hope you learn a lot from us. The next item would be adoption of agenda, but before we do that, we need a quorum. So we have to do our administration of oaths next so that we actually have a commission tonight. So do you want us to stand up there with you, Beth, or how do you want us to do
it? You guys can stand up there as long. Joe, Craig.
You want us to stand up?
Yeah, okay. We should stand up.
George, if you'll come over this way, stand near Ed. I'll pull them up. There you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it right hand on, left hand up?
Yep. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's left hand on, right hand up.
There you go. I'm like, I can
left
never
hand.
Oh,
hand.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, so you're just going to repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Joe Barlog.
Swear that I will support and maintain.
Swear that I will support and maintain.
The Constitution and laws.
The Constitution and laws.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of the state of North Carolina.
Of the state of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties
as a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
As a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
For the town of Curie Beach, so help me God.
For the town of Curie Beach, so help me God.
Perfect. We'll sign them after.
Okay.
Good to go. We'll just actually keep them up there because we got to do it for HPC too.
Next
one.
All righty. So that brings us to the next item, the adoption of the agenda. Does anyone have any comments on the agenda?
I'll move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
One of the new guys?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Agenda stands. The next item is the approval of the minutes. We have two sets of minutes here from September 3rd and October 1st. During our last attempt to review these minutes, we had some comments. There was a comment on the September 3rd and the October 1st. So I hope you all had a chance to take a look at those and make sure that they are now satisfied. Any comments?
No. Could we do them both together or do we have to do them separate?
Let's do them separate. And let's do the September 3rd one first because October follows it. Anyone like to make a motion to approve the September 3rd?
I make a motion to approve the September minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? And the October minutes?
Okay, the October minutes system, is that the one we had some issues with?
That's the one that we tabled.
Yeah.
And the wording was changed to, we shall at the direction of town council.
I thought that was September.
No, September we changed shall to May. And in October, we reviewed the September, and we caught that there was an issue. And then we went back and we fixed the September from shall to May. In October, we changed it to shall at the direction of town council. And that issue went to town council in chapter 12? I don't remember which chapter.
Is it changed? Because I wasn't here, so I just want to make sure it's changed. Correctly.
On October 20th, it was presented as shall at the direction of town council. Which agrees with these October 1st minutes.
As long as Mandy changed them. I was like, I'm unaware of that. Okay, you're good to go.
All right. So that's what happened.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion to adopt the October 1st minutes for the P&Z.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, both sets of minutes are approved. Adopted. Beth, do we have anyone for public comment today?
We do not.
That takes care of item 4. Item 5, we already did our oath of office, which brings us to our election of chairperson and vice chairperson. I'd like to start this out just with a little discussion. If anyone would like to fill either of these seats, you can speak up rather than just have somebody nominate someone that doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I've been chair of this commission probably for, at various times, maybe about 15 years. So. That's why I step back and let other people do it, which I still like to. I certainly take the vice chair position if nobody else wants to do it. But, you know, I talked to Joe, and Joe was vice chair, and you are interested in being chair.
I am interested in being chair. Okay. If anyone would have me.
You know, I'll gladly do vice chair since I'm pretty familiar with it, but if somebody else wants to do vice chair, I have no problem with that.
I'm good.
That sounds good.
Good.
So we need a motion for chair and then for vice chair.
I make a motion that member Barlick become chair of the committee.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and then for vice chair?
I don't know, that didn't sound too resounding, did it?
We're not very resounding.
I make a motion that member Galbraith become vice chair.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so member Barlock will be chair, and member Galbraith is now vice chair. All right, that brings us to new business, item 8.1. Which brings us to me, and I'm going to try to take us through this as smoothly as possible, starting with the review of Chapter 13. And once again, the page numbers are on the bottom of the pages. Let me just open my document here. And Chapter 13 is 98 pages long. There are actually 17 comments that only have to do with the fee schedule. And I have verified that all those fees are in the fee schedule, so we're not even going to talk about them. That leaves me with 21 items to just touch on that are, you know the kind of things I talk about. If I change wording a little more than syntactical, so we'll talk about them here. The first item is actually on page 1. You'll see in the table of contents, item 13.18, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, is crossed out completely. The reason for that is I had a lot of questions on that chapter, and I reached out to Nikki Keeley, and she came back saying that that board was disbanded in 2017, and it should be taken out completely. So my simple questions about clarifying it found out that we haven't had that board in 8 years. So when we get back to, I think it's back in page 80-something, you'll see that there's like 4 or 5 pages that are completely deleted. But this is the first place that it appears. Any questions on that? That's a rather big one. But
since it is something, and it's probably kind of predate your involvement with the council, what is the status of that? Was it kind of disbanded? Why was it disbanded? Because nobody wanted to do it, or because people thought it wasn't appropriate, or what?
The Parks and Recreation?
Yeah.
That's because at that time we didn't have a recreation department. So it was the committee that did like the events of the town. Once the recreation department took off full time, and Nikki was hired, and then Sean, they disbanded that.
So they took over all the responsibility. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine.
And that's exactly what Nikki said in her email for explanation further on. All right, so let's go on to the next change. On page 6, you'll see that item G on page 6 is one of those, talks about which presently exist upon passage of this section, and that was back in 1998, according to the references down below, so I eliminated item G. Any encroachment which presently exists upon the passage of this section, which is in violation, must be brought into immediate compliance in 1998. So we don't need that statement any longer.
You need to change H to G?
Yes, H will now change to G. I'll make that red. See, that's the hard thing when you're making these edits, because I can't eliminate G, because then we have to see it and talk about it. I'll work with Beth later. We'll make sure it happens.
Yeah, it automatically goes in my system, so don't worry about that, Joe.
Okay.
It will automatically
go. The next comment is on page 19. You'll see in the middle of the page, under regulated vegetation, I didn't change any wording there at all. I just made it substeps A and B so that it'll be a little easier to read, a little clearer. That's all. And further down on the page where it defines street yard, the last sentence states the minimum dimensions of street yards are established by this section. Well, they are not established by this section. So that sentence is gone. I found nowhere where it talks about minimum dimensions of street yards. So it's gone. Next page is page 21. Page 21, item B2, talks about new vegetation being planted in accordance with the provisions of this section. Well, this section is a little weak on the guidance on that, so I added, or in the direction of the building inspector. Just so that if there's questions or if we want to do more than the section requires, the building inspector has a say in such. Next comment is on page 23, down at the bottom, item C. This is a town fee schedule item, but it was not on Arlen's, not on our town fee schedule. So I emailed to Arlen and he's agreed to put it in on the next revision. So I'll be tracking that. This probably won't be approved for another 2 months because I have to bring back the text amendment, then we have to bring it to council. So Arlen has some time and he'll probably have an update in the next few months anyway. So I'm working with Arlen on that. Page 24, I missed something.
Joe, can we back up a minute? I find these fee schedule issues confusing from time to time. What you did with C was, so you marked out the amount and you made sure that Arlen's going to put it on the fee schedule?
Yes, sir.
I seem to have a recollection that Hagler wanted the amount set in both the regs and the fee schedule. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that because we've been changing it like this all the way through.
Council, we definitely just made the decision to have things in the fee schedule.
Okay.
So that you didn't have to worry about syncing everything up continuously.
We didn't want to have to keep coming back.
I just had a memory, so I'm glad.
The only time, and you'll see it later in the review comments, I pointed out, the only time we leave a dollar amount is if the fee is not set by us, if it's a state fee or another type of a violation.
Yeah, I'm good to go. Thank you.
Okay. Page 24, down on the bottom, item D1A, I failed to spell out 250 in those two places. I will catch that on next month's review. Page 25, item F, and this where you see the question marks, this is what I'm talking about, where it's a class 3 misdemeanor fine of $250. That's not specified by us. That's another agency specifying that. So that fee will stay in. And I'll take the question marks out. That was just so it's a flag that I can catch it and explain it to everyone. But that $250 stays in.
Who sets that?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is a trivial question. When you look at this,
it's a misdemeanor.
It says, I should be unlawful for any person to jump, dive, leap, or in any way propel their body from any commercial fishing pier within the town's corporate limit. Is the fishing pier where anybody would jump, dive, or whatever within the town's limit?
Well, isn't the pier in the town limits?
Well, no, it's out over the ocean.
I think there's some statute that extends the power of ordinances out into the ocean.
It's a very trivial thing, but if I got a ticket for that, I would say, well, I'm not inside the town limits when I'm jumping off the pier.
Joe, suggestion, why don't we change corporate to jurisdictional? Because I'm pretty sure about that statute, even though I can't cite it. Jurisdictional would cover that.
Okay.
So within the town's jurisdiction rather than corporate limits. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I'll make that change. All right. Let's see. Page.
Joe, I'm sorry to interrupt. I've dealt with this section before, or the chapter 13, are we in 13, chapter 13 before, with respect to civil penalties versus criminal violations. I want to look at that last sentence of F. That normally the language would be a misdemeanor in accordance with GS 14-4. I want to go back and check my notes because I know I've dealt with this provision before. If there's anything that I think needs to be tweaked, I'll bring it back next month.
Okay, and then I'll take that tweak and I'll do a global search on misdemeanor through the whole code, and wherever it talks about it, I'll put that wording in everywhere, Jim.
Yeah, I think I caught most of them. You're welcome to take a double
look at it. So what your suggestion is, rather than specify the type of misdemeanor, to just call it a misdemeanor? Rather class 3 or class 2 or anything like that?
The way it's written may be correct. I just want to go back and check my research.
Okay.
Because it's interesting, I just pulled up class 3 misdemeanors in North Carolina. It says the maximum fine is $200. So, yeah, I think that's something you might want to check.
Yeah, I'll bring it back next time.
Okay, all right.
Okay. All right, page 40. This is another item of clarification from Nikki. She says, similarly, the community center section 13.16 was written prior to the town having a recreation staff. The parts of 13.16 pertaining to the committee structure should be removed. So that was 13.16, 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50. Those all had to do with the committee, community center committee.
I thought we still had that committee. We don't have that anymore.
Recreation?
This is community center.
We have that. Mm-hmm. We have that committee still. They're just not, because the recreation staff runs the community center. They're not in charge of some of the things that were back in the day before there was a recreation department.
All right. So just so I'm clear, 13.16. Mm-hmm. It says Kerry Beach Community Center, but we've been talking about...
No, this isn't the one I talked about earlier. This is a different part of that.
Okay.
That was 18. That's coming. This is 16.
Okay. So this is something that we could also delete, according to Nikki, then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Community Center we want to take out of the code just because there's no reason for the Community Center information to be in the code. None of our other committees, like Shoreline Access, is not included in the town code.
Okay.
We have a committee policy that they have to follow, and that town council has amended over the years, but there's no need for it to be in the code. Okay. So that's what we're trying to do, just take it out to make it even across all committees.
And that deletion carries through page 40, 41, and part of 42. On page 42, item B, about animals or pets, it says seeing eye dogs are exempted. I added service animals to that because I think that's the current intent. Service animals are exempted from these regulations. So,
do we have to, is service animals defined? Because, I keep hearing stories about people claiming certain animals to be service animals when it's kind of preposterous. Do you recall whether that term is defined?
I don't believe it's defined by our code.
Yeah, we're having that problem at the university where a lot of people want to bring their pets to
their
classes.
Companions.
And, there's a companion, but then it's pretty easy to get service animal designation, too. So, we're dealing with exactly the same issue on a committee that I'm on.
I will look for a definition of service animals comparable in the county and bring that back to the next meeting. How's that sound?
Let me do one thing real quickly. North Carolina statutory definition for service animals. Now it gave me a service of weeds. So yeah, take a look at that. I'll also take a look at that.
All right. But you're right, we should put a definition of that in there.
Or use a term like registered or whatever would be necessary.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The next is on page 44. And this is the Park and Recreation Advisory Board removal. And it goes from 44 through 48. Okay. Next is page 58. And I have kind of, this is a question I have. In the middle of the page under new construction, it says, start of construction commenced on or after the effective date of the initial floodplain management regulations. It sure would be nice to have that date, but then looking further down on the page where it's talking about the post-firm and the pre-firm, it's talking about the flood insurance rate maps, January 6th of 1982. So I don't know where to go or what to do to find this date, but anybody reading this code will not know what to do with that sentence. And it's not even our floodplain management plan. It says regulations. So I don't know what that date is, and I don't know what that means. Do you have any idea for me on that, Jim, or who I could talk to about that?
Well, I was wondering if DEFCON might know something about that. But
I can look into what we should be changing that into, but it... He's right, it doesn't really make sense because that's a definition for new construction and floodplain management. New construction would basically be anything that was built after the effective date of the new, whatever the newest firm date is. So
it wouldn't be the initial, it would be the effective, the new one.
I think
we
need to reword that, but I might need to look into what to reword it
okay.
to. We don't want to put an actual date in there because it does change.
Okay.
It would be the most effective.
Or the most recent, yeah. All right, thank you. If you could get back to me before next month, I'll change it and present it next month.
I just want to make sure that I want to read all of the context behind
all right. it. You're right. Alrighty, the next is...
Okay, now well, that's the same issue for further down on 58. Were you talking about the January 6, 1982?
Yeah.
That's all going to be adjusted,
that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to look at that whole section okay. to make sure it looks right. That's a little
all right, page 76. On item 4, it says, corrective action may appeal to the order to the local elected governing body. Well, for us, down in item E, it's the Board of Adjustments. So I just changed that to Board of Adjustment up there.
Back up just a minute. What are we dealing with here?
This is appeals for...
Yeah, I see appeals.
Yep.
This is what page?
76.
Oh, 76, okay.
We're dealing with floodplain management.
What's on, I don't know, my screen's gone. What's on page 75? What are the titles there? I'm not there.
This is corrective procedures.
Bethany, in floodplain management, do you know off the top of your head where appeals go, whether it goes to the governing board or the Board of Adjustment?
I'm
not trying to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I would say, because we do have a local flood ordinance, it probably needs to go to the Board of Adjustment.
This is our first plan.
I can double check that for you. Well, since it's FEMA regulations, it's possible to be on them.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. In the regulations, specify appeals going to the governing board rather than the Board of Adjustment. So if you could double check that, that'd be great.
Well, then we need to look a little further down too, because since item 4 that we're discussing deals with appeal, if you look at item E1 on the same page, it says the Board of Adjustments here and after referred to as the appeal board. So if it's not the Board of Adjustment, we've got to change that too.
We've got two different things here. There's three issues. Four on the top of the page in E1. Four, we just discussed, do we need to specify the governing body or the Board of Adjustment? But that provision deals with an order from the floodplain manager to take corrective action. When you get down to E1, you're dealing with a different animal. You're dealing with variances.
Okay.
And I'm pretty comfortable leaving variances with the Board of Adjustment, but the second line of E1 is confusing in that it uses the same language as number 4 above, which is a different. A variance is a variance, and you're going to call the Board of Adjustment an appeal board, and 4 requires specifying the governing board instead, and you've got some confusion. So we need to look at both of these provisions once Bethany is able to guide us as to what number 4 should be. For example, if 4 says the governing body, then you don't want the reference to appeal board in E1. Do you understand? Number 4, which deals with appeals,
right,
may require a governing board as opposed to the Board of Adjustment. It may not. We're going to do our homework and find out about that. If it does require specifying the governing board rather than BOA, then 4, dealing with appeals going to the governing board, you would want to eliminate in E1 referring to the Board of Adjustment as the appeal board. We'll get it cleared up for you.
Okay. That's what we're here for. Page 82. That top big paragraph, provided to the floodplain administrator as set forth in KBC 040B5. There is no KBC 040B5. And I looked around that whole area of the code, and I didn't see anything such like this. So I'm just taking it out. That's good. Page 87. Item G, right in the middle, any structure with a footprint less than 150, I think square feet belongs there. I made that assumption. And those are all the changes that I have to chapter 13. So I will make the edits that we discussed and bring them back next time as a text amendment.
Chairman, as far as the fines that are state or whatever they may be that aren't in our fee schedule, and perhaps a better question to council, but do we have to actually put the monetary amount in there? Otherwise, somebody's going to have to track this, and it's going to get out of sync pretty quick. And
actually, we've been bringing it back in sync. There's a particular, I did those text amendments regarding civil penalties and misdemeanors 1 or 2 years ago. So my recollection is not clear at this point. There is a particular statute that says what you need to do. Some parts of it I remember. If you're going to specify a violation of a misdemeanor, you cannot charge more than X unless the ordinance expressly states what X is. If the statute has something like violation of the local ordinance may constitute a misdemeanor and be subject to a fine, not a civil citation, not a civil penalty, but a fine of X dollars. There's another provision in that statute that says you can go higher than X dollars provided the ordinance specify what that higher amount is. So it's a real tricky little statute. So that's what I need to look at for the two things that I've taken on. So I'll address that next time.
Okay. Chapter 14 is a lot shorter. I only have 3 comments to discuss. Chapter 14 is on subdivisions, which we don't have much land left to subdivide, but subdivisions still exist, and some of these rules do pertain to the existing ones. So on page 6, page 6 has a funny green note on it. Different color. Alert, alert. Beth, from this point on in the chapter, everything is italicized. So I didn't know how to tell you to unitalics it.
You mean the original online?
Yes, the original online is also. So I will explain that note to council, because Mr. Hegler always asks if it's going to be modified with this note or not. So I'll make sure he knows it's coming out and that Beth will fix the chapter. The next comment is on page 15. Oh, this was just repagination. Performance guarantees. It used to have one single subparagraph under it called agreement. I just moved it up. So it makes it small a and numbers 1, 2, 3 below it. It just repaginates that paragraph, that section. And then page 22. All right, here's another green note. And the reason I did this is because no matter how I tried, I could not copy this table onto my Word document. So whatever code is in the code would not come over to me. So the full table has 36 items on it. All right, so I just gave you the changes here. And the changes are very minor. I mean, in the header, we want to capitalize the words, preliminary plat. Item 19, again, there's three that need to be capitalized. And also item 20 has the titles that need to be capitalized. Those are the only changes, but I was unable to copy the table for some reason. And that is it for chapter 14.
Good work.
Well, that's a lot of work. That's an incredible amount of work.
And Jim, we don't need a motion, right? This is just review, right? And I bring them back next month and we motion?
That's correct.
All right. Well, before we attempt to adjourn, I have to talk about next month's meeting. It's on March 4th, Beth, which is the day after Election Day. Mm-hmm. Last year, we canceled our meeting the day after Election Day.
We did. That's correct.
I think that's because this was a polling station.
It is a polling station again. They tell me that the equipment will be picked up by 1 p.m., but there's no guarantee for that. So, and if the polling equipment is still in here, obviously you cannot be in here.
Is our only thing on the agenda is dealing with this issue? We don't have anything else. So I have no problem canceling.
That's up to y'all.
March meeting. I mean, it doesn't really make any difference. It just pushes things back a month.
Pushes things another month, which is fine. It gives us another month to research.
Do we need a motion to cancel?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make a motion to cancel the March meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Who wants to make the next motion?
I'll let one of the new people do it.
What motion for what?
Adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
A second.
There you go.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?